I'll be reading from the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 18 to 25. I'll be reading from the ESV. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we know that there is no storm, no law of man, no pandemic, no violence, no affliction. There is nothing in all of creation that could separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing that could stop the people of God from meeting, whether it be virtually. We know that there is no boundary, there is no limitation. Our hearts unite together, Lord, with the saints all across the world who are bound by one Spirit, one baptism, one Father, and Lord of all. And we, your people, worship you. We, your people, long to hear from you, to be blessed by your Spirit. Would you do that this morning? Would you speak your words of conviction and comfort unto us? Would your word go forth and not return void without having accomplished what it was sent out to do? Would it cut apart every facade, everything that we lift up before it, Lord, because it is sharper than a two-edged sword? Lord, would you bring the words of life that you and you only have for us this morning? Would you use a poor vessel such as myself to do it? May I diminish, and may you increase, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, if you hadn't noticed from... you may be seated. If you hadn't noticed from shopping around, from the gas station, from internet, from news, whatever else, we are experiencing inflation. We are having a supply chain shortage. I know at the very beginning of the pandemic, it almost seemed kind of ridiculous. It almost seemed like ages ago. It was a couple of years ago. People were buying out all of the toilet paper, right? Of all things, the toilet paper from the stores because they were afraid that they would run out. And God forbid that you run out of toilet paper at your home. What would you use? And then stores started saying, well, you know what? All that toilet paper that you purchased, you can't return it. You know, all sales are final. But this is the reality of the world that we live in, is it not? Everything is of limited supply. And oftentimes we're afraid of running out. You got people who are stockpiling gas. They were coming in and filling whatever container they could fill because they were afraid that it would run out. This is the world that we live in. And sometimes we feel like this about God's mercy and his patience and his love, that eventually you would push so far that surely this is the end of his patience. This is the end of his mercy. There's nothing left. We have exhausted all supply. Or sometimes we feel like that's the end of our endurance. Like we've taken just about as much as we could possibly take. Maybe some of us feel that way about the pandemic When is the end going to happen? Are we going to experience another lockdown? We said no more masks, double masks, triple masks. When does it all end? Is there another variant? Is there something after Omicron? What if we run out of Greek letters? What do we do then? Sometimes we feel like, that's it. God, I'm done. What else is there? What else can you put on my plate? It's full. Well, as we explore today's passage, we see that we're not that far off from what Jeremiah experienced. And I hope that as we look through the scripture, what Jeremiah speaks by the grace and power of God would speak to us today. I have 4 points. I know I'm breaking the rules here. You're supposed to only have 3. But for those of you who are seminary educated, it's because it's a chiastic form. I'll be speaking about the hope that is removed. Hope removed. Pain remembered. God recalled. And hope restored. Hope removed. Pain remembered. God recalled. And hope restored. Let me set up the historical context for you a little bit. By this time, the puppet king Zedekiah, that the king of Babylon had set up on the throne of Jerusalem, decided that it was better to rebel against Babylon. And therefore, King Nebuchadnezzar had come to Jerusalem and laid siege to it in 589 BC. If you know anything about sieges, they are a terrifying thing. See, back then, the cities were surrounded by a wall, and it was very difficult to take a city by force. And so more often than not, what did they do? They decided to cut off the city from all supplies. And then what happens to the people who are inside of the city? Well, nothing's coming in and nothing's going out, right? So they start running out of food. They start running out of fuel. Imagine, you know, there's only so much wood that you can burn to cook things. And eventually you start burning whatever you can get your hands on, including dung. So imagine if you think your food doesn't have the right flavor, imagine having to cook your meals over that. And then that dung actually becomes a problem eventually too, because not only is nothing coming in, nothing's going out, what do you do with all of the trash and other things that you are stocking up? And then all of that starts piling up and people start getting sick and they start dying, and what do you do with the dead bodies? And then that escalates and it cascades, and eventually people just give up. And this is what Jeremiah was experiencing. He's walking through the city day by day, and he's witnessing babies crying because their mothers have nothing to give them. They're so emaciated that their bodies are refusing to produce, and the babies are at their mother's chest, unable to feed. And Jeremiah, the whole book of Lamentations, talks about that. He's going around, he's witnessing this. He's witnessing, you know, people dying in the street from lacking food and water. And as he's witnessing all of this, what he cries out to God is found in verse 18. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. The prophet Jeremiah proclaims to God that he has endured as much as humanly possible, and he can't take any more. The people's food has run out. The population is dwindling. There is all of this oppression, and he says, I can't take it anymore. I've lost all hope. Maybe some of us feel like we're in that place now. Maybe you've experienced it before. Maybe something has happened in your life and you just turned around and said, look, I've had enough. I can't take any more. But it's not just that. It's not just the hope that has been lost. But Jeremiah turns around and asks God to remember everything that has happened to him up to that point. It is the pain that is remembered. He says in verse 19, "Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall." It's like he's turning to God and he says, "Have you seen what I've gone through?" He wants God to remember. He wants him to be a witness to everything that has happened to the city, to God's people, to Jerusalem himself. Why? Because he can't help but remember it. My soul continually remembers it. God, remember it, because I can't stop thinking about it. Every time I go to sleep, I'm dreaming about all of the horrible things that are happening to me. I can't help but think, like, what's going to happen? I've run out of food. I've run out of gas. What else can you do to me? Every time I close my eyes, it's the same images that are repeating over and over again. Jeremiah can't run from it. This is oftentimes what experts would call PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. I know it's something that a lot of Army soldiers experience, but it's not only PTSD. They've actually come to a new term as well, because PTSD usually has to do with a single occurrence. Something really traumatic happens and you're reliving that experience over and over again, but there's something called moral injury as well. And what happens in moral injury is that the world is not the way it ought to be. There's a series or sequences of events and it shakes you at your core, because your worldview, you says, this is not the way it ought to be, but it's happening. And it shakes everything. It's like pulling the rug out from underneath you. Nothing is secure when that happens. And this is what Jeremiah is experiencing. He's saying to God, every time I close my eyes, I remember it. So God, you remember it. This is why I've lost all hope. This is why I'm at the end of my endurance. Now, does Jeremiah think God doesn't remember it? Does Jeremiah think that, you know, God somehow has a lapse in his memory? Not at all. Of course Jeremiah knows. In fact, he understands that he's entirely in control of it. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 8, "The Lord determined to lay in ruins the wall of the daughter of Zion." He completely recognizes this is all part of God's plan. And he even recognizes that the people of Israel deserve it. Lamentations 1:18. "The Lord is in the right, for I have rebelled against his word." Maybe some of us feel like what we're going through, maybe it's deserved. Maybe some of us have thought the things that have happened, the things that we have done, the sin that has piled up over and over again, has laid before the feet of God, and God has said, I'm done. Maybe we feel like all of this that's happening around us is well deserved. So in the light of all of this, how can Jeremiah feel anything but hopeless? In the face of a sovereign God who allows it to happen, who even ordained it to happen, how could he not be bitter and depressed when his thoughts are consumed by sorrow and pain? And what about us? Are we not similar? How can we not question God in the midst of our experiences? How can we not, like Jeremiah, turn to God and say, "Where are you? Where were you, God, when the people around us were dying? Where were you, God, when people needed you? Where were you, God, when I needed you? Remember, O God." But then, something happens. Something happens that changes Jeremiah's perspective. We see this in verse 20. He says this, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Jeremiah says to himself that when he has lost hope, and in his own mind justifiably lost hope, when he can't help but remember again and again the tragedies that he has experienced and witnessed, it's burned deep into his psyche. He recalls something. He causes his mind to focus on something, and this something then causes his fortunes to be reversed, for his lost hope to be found. What is it that could give Jeremiah hope in the midst of these circumstances? And then the next words that Jeremiah writes are some of the most beautiful words ever expressed in the Bible. I learned it as a child, as a song. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. When it seemed to Jeremiah like God's patience had run out, when it seemed to Jeremiah like there was a limited supply of mercy and it was exhausted, when it seemed to Jeremiah like the love which God had always poured into Israel had now been removed, Jeremiah remembered something. Even though the present circumstances made it seem like the end of mercy, God's character was something completely different. The word translated here, steadfast love, is the Hebrew word chesed. It is equally, at the same time, love, mercy, grace, kindness, patience, long-suffering, steadfastness, faithfulness, all based upon God's promise. That's why whenever you go through various translations of the Bible, this same word gets translated all sorts of different things. Steadfast love, loving kindness, covenant faithfulness, mercy, grace. I'm actually convinced that there is no single translation that could do justice to this word. I'm actually convinced that it is a holistic expression of God's character. That's what Jeremiah is saying. The chesed love of the Lord never ceases. His character never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That's because God is perfect. He is perfect in love. He is perfect in mercy. He is perfect in grace. There's nothing more you can add to it. There's nothing that you need to take away from it. It never changes. And Jeremiah must have also recalled something that all Israelites knew. It's the story of how God gave the Israelites food, manna, from heaven. When they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, how do you feed that number of people in the middle of a desert? Well, you don't. God has to provide. And so what did God do? He sent manna from heaven, and every family was only supposed to collect enough for that day. Except for Friday, they're supposed to collect enough for 2 days, because they're not supposed to work on Saturday. And if anybody collected more than just that day's worth, then that would rot overnight. So can you imagine being an Israelite, and you're wandering in this desert, and you're wake up in the morning and you go out and you look and there's all of this bread, and God says, only collect enough for that day. And so you collect, and when evening comes, your pantry is empty. And so that night as you go to sleep, what are you thinking? Oh, I hope tomorrow morning God is faithful and that bread is out there once again. And when the morning comes, what did they find? There's bread again. Manna has come again from heaven. 40 years. God has shown his faithfulness, and it is new every morning. I don't know if any of you have ever lived like that, living paycheck to paycheck. At the end of every month, you've exhausted your resources and your stomach is tied up in knots because you're terrified if something happens and your balance, your checkbook isn't quite budgeted and balanced correctly, you may not be able to make it the next month. This is what the Israelites were experiencing. But no matter how much manna was taken, no matter how much evaporated with the morning sun, when the next day came, when the morning came, there was always more. There was always more. And seeing this faithfulness, this chesed love throughout the history of God's interaction with his people, Jeremiah then had hope. Even in the evening of Israel's history, when it seemed like all supplies had been exhausted, that the morning would come. That eventually God's promises will be fulfilled. Here's a sad thing for those of you who know biblical history. Jeremiah never saw the morning come. He prophesied that Israel would one day be restored, but he himself would never experience it. But regardless, Jeremiah had hope, and his hope was well-founded. For God not only provided manna from heaven, he provided the bread of life from heaven. See, Jesus one day would be born, and he would speak to the Israelites, saying, "Your fathers, your forefathers ate manna in the desert, but they ate it and then died. But the bread that I give to you, you will eat from it and have what? Everlasting life." The morning did come, and God did fulfill his promise by giving his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may eat and never die. This is what Jeremiah called to mind. And that was the secret to Jeremiah's hope. Jeremiah, even in the midst of everything that was happening, he considered the faithful character of God, and he knew that God's mercy and love would never run out. He knew that they were going through the darkest of nights, yes, but morning would come to shine light upon that darkness. And so he took his eyes off the tragedies all around him, and he placed them on the promise of Jesus. He said this in verse 24 and 25, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him." He's writing as if the center of his being, his soul, is actually speaking words of encouragement to him. His soul says to him, you know, remember, your treasure is not the people of Israel. It's not the temple. It's not the palace. It's not the pretty buildings that have been up in Jerusalem for all of these years. No, your treasure is God. And if His treasure is God, who never changes, who can never run out, who's never exhausted, whose love and justice and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and mercy and grace is everlasting. If this is our treasure, if this is what we treasure, then our hope also can never be shaken. If we hope in God and not in our circumstances, then our hope is everlasting. Because God is everlasting. Because God is a promise keeper. Because God fulfilled every single promise that he gave. And so Jeremiah says, I will wait for him because he is good to those who wait on him. And God proved faithful. He showed that faithfulness in the giving of his son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that we celebrated just a few weeks ago. Let me ask you, my brothers and sisters, what causes trials and tribulations? What causes pain and suffering? Is it not the effects of sin? This we recognize. Sin has perverted the natural world so that it shows violence against us. Sin has perverted the natural man so that he rails violence against God and against each other. So God, he waited not just to take care of the symptoms of suffering, but to take care of the cause of it. Jesus, from Jeremiah's perspective, would one day come down and suffer all that we should have suffered and ever could have suffered, and even more, to free us from the cause of that suffering. You see, my brothers and sisters, hope is not restored when we look at what we have done. Hope is restored when we look at what Christ has done for us. It's not restored when we focus our hearts and minds upon what has been done to us, but when we look upon what has been done to our Lord Jesus Christ for our sake. Jeremiah had to look forward to the coming of the morning. We have the benefit of knowing that it has already happened. And if God has already done this in fulfillment of his promises, then what promise would he break? What would he withhold from us if he has already given us the greatest, most meaningful gift ever possible? And if he came the first time to conquer the spiritual effects of sin, so he shall one day conquer the physical effects of it. Every time our hearts and our minds remind us of the pain that we have endured, every time that we look around us and we can't help but see all of the tragedy, when our hearts want to only focus upon the pain and suffering, let us meditate upon the faithfulness of God on the cross, on the character of God, the steadfast love shown in Jesus Christ. And like Jeremiah did, speak the gospel unto ourselves. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Let us pray. Lord, there is a lot of uncertainty in this world, Lord. We recognize it. We realize it. We don't hide from it, Lord God. But Lord, thank God that our hope doesn't rest upon the uncertainties of this world, but upon the steadfast love, the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray every time, Lord, we are shook by the tragedies that surround us, every time that we're uncertain, every time, like the Israelites, we're wondering what will come next, Lord, that you remind us again of your faithful character, of the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and we remember that our hope lies not in the things of this world, but in the unshakable faithfulness of our Lord. And therefore we have hope, that we may say unto our own selves, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Every time we feel like we're at the end of our rope, let us say to ourselves, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. May we preach the gospel unto ourselves much more than we ever preach it unto others. Because, Lord, you are faithful. You are dependable. You are our rock and our salvation. Let us meditate upon you day and night. We love you. We trust in you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.